Congratulations, you have just found the number one over 50 health and wellness podcast on the planet. Hey, Coach Kevin here, and I am excited to share this episode with you. Today, we have a very special guest. I am chatting with one of our coaches from the Silver Edge team who brings a wealth of experience and insights into how men and women just like you can shed unwanted weight and build the strongest, most vital version of themselves in the second half of their lives. Through personal stories and expert advice, this episode is jam-packed with motivational guidance on embracing a healthy lifestyle. So whether you're looking to start your fitness journey or you're seeking ways to elevate your current routine, this discussion promises to be an enlightening exploration of health beyond 50. Stay tuned as we uncover the secrets to living a healthier, more vibrant life with today's remarkable guest. Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Show. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm the founder of the Silver Edge, and our mission is to help you build and maintain a lean, healthy body that you love for the rest of your life, so that you can show up in the second half of your life as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself. We have a great show for you today. Silver Edge coach Jess Wold is here, and she's going to share how she helps her clients build and maintain lean, healthy, strong, capable bodies. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the Silver Edge. If you're frustrated with less than spectacular results from your last few dieting attempts and you're ready for a health-first approach to building your dream body in your 50s and 60s, I'd encourage you to book a call to see if our personalized one-on-one nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle coaching service is a perfect fit for you and your goals. Just shoot me an email at coach@silveredgefitness.com and we'll schedule a time to chat. Okay, let's get on with today's show. My guest today is Jessica Wold. Jess is a certified nutrition coach, a CrossFit Level 1 coach, as well as a certified personal trainer. With over 15 years of coaching experience, Jess has dedicated her life to helping men and women lose weight, build muscle, and improve their health so they can show up in life as the best version of themselves. Without further ado, let's meet Coach Jess.
I had three sisters growing up, so there was four girls. So we were all pretty competitive, liked to play outside, had a big group of friends in our neighborhood. I wouldn't say I played many sports. I was a competitive dancer, so that kind of limited the sports that I could play just due to the time demands and things like that. And then by the time I got to high school, maybe junior year, I decided to give that up because I was missing out on a lot of social things, not being able to hang out with friends, and decided to put that on the back burner for then. But I always really enjoyed being active. It was just ever hard for me at that age to get into sports because most people had been playing for, you know, 5 or 6 years at that point. It was hard to try out for something. I did track because at most schools back then, you could just join the track team, you know, which was good. But other than that, I didn't get really active again until later in life.
All right. So what were you eating during these years of all this dance and just growing up?
Really, my dad cooked for us a dinner every night. He did not like eating out or junk food. So, well, I take that back. He did buy junk food. We weren't allowed to eat fast food. When he would travel for work, my mom would get us some McDonald's, and that was really fun because she didn't really cook. So we ate a lot of home-cooked meals. He packed our lunches every day, made our breakfast in the morning. But I'll still say it was a lot of standard American diet stuff, cereal for breakfast, you know, peanut butter and jelly and bag of chips, maybe some fruit for lunch. And dinner, you know, was just kind of whatever he felt like cooking. But we all had to eat together as a family, and you had to finish your plate.
Yeah, that's pretty. I think that's probably a lot of folks listening right now probably shaking their heads or nodding their heads, rather. That's pretty standard, right? Certainly, that was the rule at our table. You ate everything before you got up. And yeah, so sounds like you had a pretty good, I mean, just a healthy upbringing then. Now, you mentioned, hey, I was pretty active and then something happened and I got interested in being healthy, active later in life. Is it kind of what most, you know, most of us were, you know, we have careers, we have families. What was that interrupt for you?
going to college, I'd say.
Going off to college.
Like, yeah. Going to college. And my friends there weren't really into exercising or working out. Some of them played sports there, so they were doing it, you know, with their sports teams. But none of my other friends really wanted to go for a run or take a walk. We were kind of just enjoying that, being lazy, typical college student, along with the typical college diet.
Yeah. So does that mean the freshman 15 as well? Or how did you do with that?
I'll say I was very afraid of the freshman 15.
Yeah.
If like the sophomore 15 is a thing, that's when it happens.
Is that, okay. So you did pretty well in the freshman year and then the sophomore year. And where do you go from there from a health and fitness perspective?
So I'll say towards the end of college, I started to get into running a little bit. I wanted to, you know, my family always was one of those families that ran the turkey trot on Thanksgiving. So we go home for Thanksgiving. I'd suffer through that and think like, God, I want to actually be able to comfortably run 3 miles. So when I moved back home after college, you know, I joined the Planet Fitness. I did a lot of running on the treadmill, some of the machines, but never really had a program, didn't know what I was doing. I just felt like active that I was at the gym. You know, sometimes I would go and run a mile and do 10 pushups and think like, all right, that was good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just go home and eat whatever I felt like making for dinner that night. But I didn't know anything about nutrition. I didn't know, you know, I knew fruits and vegetables were good. I didn't have any idea of protein. If I was eating it, I have no idea how much I was eating. I probably wasn't cooking it for myself at all.
Yeah.
So eventually I got bored with the gym. I had a friend that was opening a CrossFit and I had no idea what CrossFit was. I don't even know if he was calling it CrossFit. He's like, you just have to come try these workouts. So I went and I tried it for the first time and I was like, that I almost died. I really was like laying down there thinking like, you might have to call an ambulance. I don't know what that was. Everything hurts. I can't breathe. I'd never worked that hard in my life.
Right.
But I was hooked after that. Yeah. So, you know, I went back. I really liked having this structured workout program. And I was realizing, and I should back up and say that whole time I was in college and at Planet Fitness and that journey in my early 20s, my goal was to just be super skinny, you know, almost achieve that skinny fat where really you can't exercise and be skinny fat. You have to just not eat. So, you know, I never fully ventured down any bad disordered eating, but it's easy to see how that can happen because the look at the time was just skinny.
Right.
It wasn't fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I found CrossFit, I found this group of people that just were really fit. And the ideal aesthetic was muscular and being able to lift a certain amount of weight. And so it really came in at a good time for me in my life that I got this body confidence I'd never had before. And I wasn't, you know, super skinny. And I started realizing that I had friends that I always wished I was as skinny as them. And then seeing they don't have any muscle. They can't bench press any weight. They have no idea what a deadlift is. And it was very empowering. And I kind of got this whole new confidence of what I want and changed my perspective on my body, but also what I wanted to do with my life. So before I'd always worked in an office, I worked in business ranging from PR, finance to I was in human resources when I found CrossFit. So I decided I really want to train people. This is, you know, my calling. I feel best when I'm at the gym. I could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to bring my friends and like my sisters all joined the gym. My aunt and uncle joined the gym. And it wasn't my gym at first. It was just my friend's gym. And I just watching them all get in good shape and start from like, I don't think I could ever do this crazy stuff you're talking about to like beating me in the workouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was fun.
Right. All right. Well, let's pause here because I want to pick a little bit of this apart before you get into actual changing your life, making this what you do for a living. First of all, what year was it when you did that first CrossFit workout? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 2007.
Okay, 2007. So that's pretty old school. I mean, that would have been the beginning days of CrossFit when it was still, I mean, it's become a lot more accepted, more mainstream now. It was pretty fringe, pretty hardcore at the time. But you said something that's very interesting, and I think that this is a very common phenomenon. You said, hey, I went to this CrossFit workout and I almost died. I was laying on the floor. I was gasping and you know, there was darkness around your peripheral vision and you were hooked. You loved it. That seems to be a very interesting That's a very common story for people that do these intense kinds of workouts for the first time. It certainly is my experience as well. Why do you think that is?
I think it's that mental, you go to a place mentally that you've never gone before. So you're halfway into a workout and you want to quit and you want to throw up and you can't breathe, but everyone around you is cheering for you or they're still doing it too. So you're not just going to give up because you don't want to be that person. So all of a sudden you push through and you finish and you're like, wow, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. You know, and I think it's that mental, that rush that you're getting, that adrenaline rush when you finish, like that sense of accomplishment is really what gets you through.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that most of us live very comfortable lives, especially those of us that are desk jockeys, right? I mean, I sit behind a laptop all day and doing something extremely difficult, and not just doing something extremely difficult and having that sense of achievement, but doing it in a social environment, in a group of people. Like you said, one of the really cool things about CrossFit is that they've really tapped into the power of community. And to your point, people cheer the loudest for the winner and the person in last place. Right? Everybody is really supported in that environment. I think also for me, one of the things that was surprising when I first stepped into CrossFit was I don't think of myself necessarily as a competitive person, but yeah. Holy moly, once I got in there, it was an outlet that I didn't know I needed, right? Just that competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And look, there's some people say, well, I only compete with myself. And I was like, bullshit. I'm competing with, and what I would, especially being the old guy in the gym, when I had maybe in a certain workout that was my jam, when I beat the younger people, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, put that on the leaderboard, right? So there's some of that as well, but I think you're right. There's this power of community. There's this power of accomplishment. There's this power of overcoming really hard things. Like you said, you go to this dark place. You feel like you can't go any further. You feel like you're going to puke, and somehow you persevere and you overcome and you find these things out about yourself that is probably unique. You didn't understand that was there before, and you emerge really a different person with a different perspective of yourself. Does that sound fair?
Yes, 100%.
And the other thing I wanted to pull apart there is, and look, you could probably tell from the way we're having this conversation, Jess and I are both madly in love with CrossFit. I don't talk about it as much these days as I used to. But CrossFit has done so many wonderful things. I don't mean for this just to be a CrossFit fan show, but this part is going to be that, right? And then we can talk about maybe some things that are not so great about CrossFit. But you had mentioned that, hey, I just wanted to be skinny because that was the aesthetic. And certainly, especially on the female side, right? That's what's been culturally fed to us, I think, that women should eat salads and do Jane Fonda aerobics and just try and be skinny, right? And you found this new group of people where, and I think CrossFit has done a very, very good job of this, of kind of making that strong as the new skinny, strong as the new sexy, this more athletic build. We're not talking about big hulking She-Ra's. We're talking about still very feminine aesthetics, but very, very fit. And this, so we have this whole, I think that's actually changed the front covers of magazines, right? You think about 70s and 80s and what you would see on, say, a typical beauty magazine, Cosmo or Vogue or something. You have these stick, skinny, very sickly looking ladies.
Yeah.
And now you have these very buff, badass women, right? So this aesthetic has changed. I think that CrossFit certainly has had a big part there. And like you said, you had this example of women embracing being strong and being competent. And I absolutely loved all of that. So, all right, I interrupted your story because you said, hey, I found this thing. I just felt madly in love with it. I talked to, anybody who's been around, a recently converted Christian, a new CrossFitter, or say a vegan, know that those three are the most more annoying people in the world to be around because they found the light, right? And they want to share it with you. And I can totally relate to, all of those things. So you're out, you're sharing this, you're an HR person in your professional life, and you decide that you want to. This is your calling now. Talk to us. How does that work? How do you go from corporate life to doing something that you're passionate about in this fitness space?
Still while I was working in HR, I got certified to be a CrossFit trainer. The guy that owned my gym, the box as it was referred to back then, he offered to pay for me to go get certified because he thought, you know, I could help him out and be a trainer. There wasn't many trainers at the gym at the time. And at the time, it was very hard to get to find a CrossFit certification. There was only a couple a year. So I went to my certification, got certified, and then started helping him out with some classes. And we got talking a lot, and he wanted to open a second gym. So we kind of started going down that path. And I guess it's also important to note that I met my husband at the gym. Okay. So yeah. He was a member. He had recently moved to the area, and we became friends. So he was also involved in this process of looking at a second location. And then we decided, you know, things got a little awkward at the gym with the guy that owned it. We're great friends today, but he started going down a different path with the community at his gym, I should say. It got very competitive. It wasn't really for the everyday person. And I really wanted that feel back from when I first joined the gym, because I really liked getting people that I knew to come, or watching people, you know, that had never exercised before exercise for the first time. He was going down the path of getting people to qualify, you know, and go to the CrossFit Games, and the gym kind of revolved around that. So we kind of stopped talking about opening that second location, and my husband and I decided I would just open my own gym. So that's why I was going to leave the corporate world. We were going to self-fund this. And in the meantime, there was another woman that went to the gym, and she lived in the same town I wanted to open the gym in. So she got talking to me and was like, I would love to be your partner. So we decided to, you know, hash it out and figure out, can we actually make this work? And we did. So we left and opened our own gym. And we were one of the first female owned affiliates, which was pretty cool.
So this was a CrossFit gym then, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. One of the first, I think, like, there was only maybe 10 at the time. So that was pretty neat. And I know when we left, the guy that had owned the gym that we were at, he told us, you're never going to get any male members unless you guys work out in your sports bra. And yeah, he's like called out on this. He actually had me on his podcast once and we talked about it, and he was so mortified, but he, you know, he was like, yes, I was so mad at the time, because that's just, you know, he felt like I was going to take his members, and really I didn't. There was a couple people, like family members, that were going to come to my gym. But other than that, we had two completely separate types of communities.
Communities. Yeah. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And so this would have been back in the late 2000s then, when you opened that gym?
Yeah, it was January 2011.
Okay, 2011. All right. Well, all right. Before we move forward kind of in your journey here, let's just kind of pause for a minute. So you, myself, and Coach Monica, so for folks that don't know, there are four of us here at the Silver Edge, four coaches. And three of us are CrossFit coaches, because Coach Monica is, you two are currently coaching. I am not currently coaching, but still an L1 coach. Let's just back up a little bit and be kind of objective here. What are some things that, because we talked a lot about things that are wonderful about CrossFit, right? Certainly, I think we didn't throw in there, but we should absolutely throw in there, speaking of, you know, gender, is that it introduced a ton of women to the barbell and to strength training. And it also almost single-handedly resuscitated the Olympic lift. So the snatch and the clean and jerk. But all that being said, what are some negatives of CrossFit? I mean, if people are probably listening to this and they're probably thinking, well, should I be doing CrossFit? Should everybody be doing CrossFit? Are there things that objectively you can say about CrossFit that are maybe not so great?
Yes. Definitely. Programming. So you walk into a CrossFit gym, and chances are the owner or another coach there is just making up the workouts. Unless, you know, now as it's evolved, you can pay for programming. But a lot of the time, those workouts are just being made up by people, and you don't necessarily know what their goals are or their experience in programming. So you could end up really getting some overuse injuries, or you're doing very high reps of a lift at a heavy weight, and you have not much experience doing that, and everybody else is doing it, so you're doing it too. And next thing you know, you've blown out your back and you can't walk. I feel like that's probably the most common.
Yeah. And I hear a lot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, and that depending on who's coaching your class or who the trainer is and their comfort and experience level with helping people being able to scale the workout. I like to tell new people when they come in that the workout, no matter what weight you're doing or how you scale it, you know, you can do pull-ups assisted and step-ups instead of box jumps. Just because the workout is written a certain way doesn't mean you do it that way.
Right.
And that as the trainer, we're trying to make the workout equally hard for everyone. So everybody feels the same way at the end. Just because you're new doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be laying on the floor gasping for air like we were after right. our first workout. You know, there's so many scaling options, but a lot of times people walk in and they don't want to scale or they don't know. There's trainers there that don't know enough to have that person scale. So people end up getting hurt. I also think, you know, there's the CrossFit Games and it's gotten very competitive and people see that and think, well, there's no way I could do that. And I don't want to look like that. Or, you know, there's this, and there's, you know, these people are flipping over the bar and, you know, pushing these things the length of a football field. There's no way I'm going to do that. So then people don't want to even try it.
Yeah. The games of, if anybody's ever, you know, been on a Saturday afternoon and the CrossFit Games happen to come on, say ESPN or something, these are some amazing, amazing athletes, but they're the 0.0001%, right? Mm-hmm. That's the pinnacle of human performance. And there's a lot of, just like in any physical endeavor, these are professional athletes, right? This is what they do for a living for the most part. So yeah, I would add to that, that one of the things I see, kind of now that I've backed away from CrossFit a little bit and kind of looking back at it, it's not hard to make the case that there is never a good time to do deadlifts for time, right? As many deadlifts as you can, or even worse yet, say clean and jerks or snatches. These are very, very complicated movements. And I remember my very first workout was it Grace or Isabella, one of the girl names, and I think it's 30 snatches for time. Now, to your point, the owner of the gym said, okay, you're going to do this, Kev, this is the workout, and you're going to do it with an empty barbell, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to put any weight on it. So it's not like I was, you know, trying to snatch a tremendous amount of weight, but still there is that, you can make a case that some of these movements, when performed under load and for time, in other words, say the workout is to do 30 of this complex movement as fast as you can, there is the potential there for people that are not proficient in that movement or conditioned enough, again, to get hurt. And CrossFit gets this bad rap about injuries and all of that. However, from the research that I've seen, people aren't getting more injured in CrossFit than any other physical endeavor, which that might surprise some people that it's not, you know, it's not an injury machine. However, it is, if you're not careful, certainly it can be. At any rate, I want to leave CrossFit alone for a minute. So you had mentioned that you've got this gym now, you're a gym owner, you've quit corporate life, this is your new life, you're an entrepreneur, you're a fitness entrepreneur, and you're doing the fitness thing. Where does the nutrition piece come in?
So I was always really interested in nutrition. I will say when I first started CrossFit, I really still had no idea what I was eating. And I remember my friend, the CrossFit owner, was like, what's for dinner tonight? And it was just kind of a joke or the question of the day. And I said, peanut butter and jelly. And he said, are you serious? You know, your body deserves better than a peanut butter and jelly. And I was like, yeah, I never thought of it like that. So there was a CrossFit nutrition seminar coming up at that gym. And I was like, I'm going to check it out. You know, so I went to it and it opened my eyes so much, like what we're eating, processed foods, whole foods. And at the time, they were really pushing paleo, and I don't necessarily want to say pushing, but that was very trendy. And it was what people were kind of digging into, that, like how our ancestors lived and what they ate and were they disease free and all of these things. So I started getting really into that type of eating. And, you know, I don't want to say I made a drastic change, but I slowly started making changes and changing my lifestyle more to think about what I was eating. So by the time I opened my own CrossFit gym, I was, you know, we were running paleo challenges and nutrition challenges and talking to people about nutrition. I wasn't certified, you know, to be doing that, just through CrossFit. And we would have a couple nutrition people come in, do seminars and things like that, and just get people that were coming in the door, like, you're doing all this exercising, but what are you putting in your body? Because we can't control what you're doing that other 23 hours of the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're properly fueled, then you're going to perform better. So you're going to get more out of your workouts. And that's kind of the approach we were taking. And one year macros started to become, you know, the next thing, counting your macros. And I found it kind of opened some more doors. Like you could fit in that, you know, piece of bread with breakfast, which I wouldn't have ever eaten before, you know, or realizing I was really under eating when I started tracking my macros and that I was eating all this really healthy food, but I was lucky if I was getting 1,000 calories a day. Mm. And so I started tracking macros and hired a macro coach. Actually, first I gave my husband that as a present for his birthday. And
you gave him coaching, you mean?
Yeah. Gave him macro coaching. He was really into Spartan races and running, but he wasn't properly fueled for that. So he started tracking macros and had this coach and it was really working for him. So I was like, well, I want to hire a coach. So I did. And then I went on, I saw what kind of certifications they had. I think this is kind of similar to Coach Russell's story last week. Like he, you know, hired a coach, saw what the coach did, was like, this is actually really fun. And I was like, I really would like to go in this direction, be able to offer this to members at the gym. So I went and got my nutrition certification, learned a ton more information, and started offering that as a service. And that was back in 2017.
Okay. So you brought that on, A, because you found that it was impactful in your own life and it was just a part of your journey. And now you're able to add this additional value to the clients in the gym, right? You have this new nutrition coaching arm. So you're capturing both sides of that, right? Because basically body composition and certainly healthy aging for our population, there's several facets to that, right? There's the lifestyle piece, but there's certainly the two sides of the same coin are going to be that movement or exercise and then that fueling piece. Mm-hmm. So you're at that point, you've got both. Now you went on and became a certified personal trainer as well, right?
Yes.
Why another certification?
You know, I just kind of liked being able to do personal training and mm-hmm. felt like there was a lot of other types of training besides CrossFit. And at that point, my background was just strictly CrossFit. But I realized there's all these people out there that just want to train, but they don't want to do CrossFit. And, you know, I just always find the more tools in your toolbox, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. Similar to me, I've got a couple of nutrition coaching certifications. I've got the CrossFit as well as I've also done the ACE personal training and found that makes you really well-rounded to have all of that. So, all right. So you've been doing this for quite some time and you and I know each other, right? In fact, we met at the CrossFit gym. I was a member there while you were a coach. I became a coach. We coached together, been in classes a lot together. And I should know this. When did you come on board with Silver Edge? How long has it been now?
Last May.
So you're coming up on a year.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Fantastic. All right. So yeah, we reached out to you at that time. You know, I was doing the solopreneur thing. This was my side hustle for a few years. I retired from my corporate job and decided, hey, I'm going to do this full time. Mm-hmm. And I got immediately overwhelmed. Monica, who's also at our gym, a trainer there, I recruited her just for some administrative help and then quickly said, hey, you're a coach, you're a nutrition coach, right? She goes, yeah, I'm a nutrition coach. I said, all right, well, I need some help. And so she started coaching some clients and then we brought you on as well. So you've been with us here for almost a year. What I'd like to do is let's talk a little bit about what does a journey of your client look like from the time that you get a brand new client? What do you do and what does that journey look like? And let's just use an example of, you know, I mean, this could be a number of your different clients, but just say a female client who's got 20, 30 pounds to lose, wants to get back in shape. What does that look like from the time you're assigned this new client to say that client graduates?
Okay. So when I get assigned a new client, I send them some information to fill out, an onboarding form. It's a couple pages long. Asking your health history, your lifestyle questions, you know, what you do for work, your stress level, how you like to eat, anything you've ever done in the past that's worked for you, that hasn't worked for you, and kind of get some idea of this client's story, right? And then I set up an onboarding call that's 45 minutes to an hour. and really kind of get to know this person, have them tell me really what their goals are, dig a little deeper into that and, you know, see what they've done before. We have, you know, I've had a client that has never exercised, you know, in their entire life. So it's going to be a whole new journey for them. But, you know, we go through the process of what we do. So after the onboarding form, I have them download a food tracking app. So typically MyFitnessPal, because that's usually the easiest, and have them track everything they eat for a week. And I don't give them any macros. I don't tell them how many calories to eat. I just want to get some idea of how they're eating on a day-to-day basis. So once I get all that information for a week, I take a couple hours to really dig into it and see where we can make improvements, what we can start working on first. So then we'll set up our next call where we'll go through that together. I'll give them some goals. And I don't necessarily assign someone full macros to track and expect them to hit those numbers right away. So,
and Jess, just real quick, let me interrupt. You've used the word macros several times.
Yeah.
You say macros?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Macros. So macronutrients. So those are our big three: carbohydrates, protein, and fat.
Gotcha. And when you're saying tracking, then you're talking about, just make sure we're all on the same page, you're talking about you want these people to weigh, measure, and record everything they eat and drink for this full week. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep.
No, or at least best guess.
Right.
Look at the
we're not looking for perfection. We're just, you want to have an idea of how many calories this person averages a day over, you know, given the way they're usually eating, you know, how much of that's protein, how much is that carbs, how much is that fat. Okay, gotcha.
So we take a look at that. I give them some goals. I will say, I feel that I can confidently say, and you probably will agree with me, 90% of our clients that come in are under eating for most of the week and then overeating for one or two days of the week.
Yes.
And
that one or two days being the weekend, typically.
Yes.
Yes.
And those macronutrients are very heavily carbohydrate and fat.
Yes. Yes. That is. And I think 90% is probably a little on the light side. I'd say that's 95% of the people that come in. Yeah.
Yeah. So protein, you know, for them, and like me, I can relate, when I wasn't tracking my food, you know, early on, I had no idea that I wasn't getting much protein. So that's usually where we go first, is I set my clients a protein goal. If they were only eating, and I try to increase it by 50%. Most of them come in eating maybe 50 grams of protein. So we try to up that to get to 100 grams of protein this week and give them some strategies to get there. And we usually start tracking protein and then water intake. And that's what I'm most concerned about for a majority of our clients when they come to us. Let's just, you know, figure, I don't want to overwhelm anybody with, you're going to weigh and measure and track every single thing, you know, and you're going to start working it. So we start usually just with tracking protein, give them some ideas to get protein, track your water, make sure you're drinking enough water, and maybe try to cut back on other drinks that you're drinking. So, you know, if it's soda or, you know, iced tea, a lot of coffee, sugary drinks, anything like that. And then I'll have them start with a workout. So if they have access to a gym, put them into a gym workout. If they are just working out at home, we find something that works for them to do at home so they can just start exercising. And then we have weekly check-in calls.
Well, actually, hang on. Let me, because people are probably thinking, oh no, if I work with Coach Jess, do I have to do CrossFit? So what do you have these people do when you say, hey, if you have a gym, I'll write a workout for there. If you're at home, I'll write a workout for what equipment you have. Is that every day? What does that typically look like? And I know it's different for every single person, right? Because all of our coaching is very personalized, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, what are your guidelines there for workouts when you're starting somebody?
So in general, if you are a new client that has not worked out before, I'll say, and you don't really have access to a gym, I would have you start with some resistance training, maybe get some bands and body weight movements. And you would have a specific program just for you. And, you know, we should say we have an app that you would also download this app and you would have all of your workouts there. And there's videos to guide you through the movements. So even though I can't actually see them in person, they have a video and they can ask me any questions, you know, about the movements. If they are doing them properly, they can record themselves and send them to us so we can check. So usually 3 days a week of some sort of workout, training, strength training, resistance training. And if they have access to a gym, usually start them in some sort of beginner strength program. So dumbbells and bands is one that we use, that I use pretty often with people that haven't worked out before. So dumbbells, I find at the gym, are easier. They're more accessible. And there's so many different range of weights that you can do almost every movement that we do with some dumbbells, and just kind of get a feel for what weight training feels like.
Gotcha. Okay. So you've got this client that wants to lose weight. Why aren't they on the treadmill 7 days a week for an hour at a time?
Number one, who wants to do that?
Right. No. How sustainable is that? Yeah.
You know, and that's a good question, because a lot of people think you really need to be doing cardio, and, you know, the goal is maybe to be able to run or something like that. And it is this mindset shift that you actually need to build muscle. And, you know, as I've heard you say on the show before, like, muscle is the organ of longevity, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you really don't hear people telling you to lift weights. And you think, if I lift weights, you know, I'm going to get bulky and I want to lose weight. And, you know, trying to just explain how weightlifting is going to help you build muscle, which is going to speed up your metabolism and allow you to drop that weight. And, you know, just walking on the treadmill is a great exercise, but you're just burning calories for an hour and then your body's doing nothing after that.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great, you know, and I have a lot of my clients walking on their days off because it's great for stress relief. It is a good calorie burn, but it is not going to change your body. It is not going to speed up that metabolism. And it is not going to help
done I think if it's done excessively, it actually has the opposite effect that you're trying to get, right? You're actually going to become a fat storer, not a fat burner. So yeah, now you had mentioned, okay, you got this beginning person, you've got them. Some people might be surprised. Wait, only 3 days a week. Those workouts must be 2 or 3 hours long then if you're only doing 3 days a week. Is that, how long should somebody expect to have these workouts if you're only doing strength training 3 times a week?
An hour max.
An hour max.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I tell my clients, if it's taking you longer than an hour, let's go revisit your program. Make sure you're not resting too long. You have the right movements in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want people to be spending the day at the gym.
Gotcha. And then, okay, so this person, now you've brought them in, you've assessed them, you've given them a nutrition plan. And of course, we're not overwhelming them, just giving them baby steps, right? Let's get that low-hanging fruit. What can we get the biggest bang for our buck? And of course, you mentioned, hey, let's look at maybe hydration and protein. Those are very, very common starting places. Let's get on some sort of a strength training program. How does that progress over time? What is that part of the journey look like?
So within the first month, I would like them, you know, I assign them full macros. So here's your carb goal, here's your fat goal, here's your protein goal, and here's your this will create your overall calorie goal. And a lot of people are surprised when their calories are not 1200.
Right.
And they're typically on average closer to 1800 to 2000. And they say, you know, I've never eaten this much food. I don't think I can do this. And within a week, they're like, wow, I feel better. I'm eating this food, but I'm not really gaining weight, or I have energy to get through my workout and I'm recovering. My sleep is better. Just little markers that we look for as coaches to know if we're moving in the right direction. So a lot of people come in and they want to lose weight, and I have them eating more food than they've eaten regularly 7 days a week. And if they see the scale move a little bit, it's usually because they're gaining some muscle because they've not exercised much before.
Yeah,
it's not really fat. It's just you're changing your body in a good way, eating more food. And we do that for a couple months, really focusing on those goals and figuring out ways to get healthy fats, healthy carbs, and hitting that protein goal before we would ever even think about doing a weight loss.
Okay, so let's pause right there. So you're telling me that when I get a new client and assign it to you, so Coach Jess, here's a new client, you're going to onboard them, you're going to figure out how much food they're currently eating, what that looks like, you're going to look at their diet patterns, are they eating different on the weekdays and the weekends, and they want to lose weight, and the first thing you're going to do is tell them to eat more food. Did I understand that right?
Yes.
So, and I obviously, folks that have been around here for a while, they understand. We very commonly say what you do before you diet and what you do after your diet is infinitely more critically important than what you do during your diet. That diet phase or that calorie deficit phase is just one part on a long-term healthy body composition journey. So what Jess is talking about here is this pre-diet phase where really the idea or the goal is to put you in a position to best be ready to lose weight, lose fat in a healthy manner. So what she's talking about is really is kind of building up that metabolism, right? You're building some muscle. You mentioned the wins that your clients are having there early on isn't necessarily the scale. It's probably not the scale, frankly, but it's having better mood, more energy, feeling stronger, increasing some muscle mass, which we know is a very positive indicator of many health outcomes, but also for lean body, for long-term lean body. The more muscle mass you have on your body, the more calories you burn at rest, the easier it is for you to maintain a lean body. All right. So you've got this client, you're feeding them more and more food. Mm-hmm. Where's their head in all this? I mean, they came in for weight loss and here we are, we're a month, 6 weeks into this and you're saying, hey, I just need to eat a little more food. I need you to eat a little more food. What is your client's psychology during that time?
You know, I'll say it can range, but most people are like, I don't think I could possibly eat, you know, more. You're really telling me to eat more food, you know, but they're really feeling good usually by this point. I'd say by 4 to 6 weeks in, like they're fueled. They feel right. Good. They don't feel deprived. They're happy that, God, they went out to dinner with their spouse and they could order, you know, what they wanted. And the next day they wake up and their weight's the same. They're not worried to step on the scale. We're kind of changing that relationship and that mindset that you are really preparing your metabolism. And I've had a client that was very successful and they used to say like, I'm just going to trust you, but I don't really see how this is working.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The whole entire time was losing weight. They lost weight through the reverse diet, through the cut, and then back to maintenance. And that weight just continued to come off because they were really following the program. They, even if they didn't want to eat all that food, or even if they were on vacation, they were still able to lose weight. And it is just getting to that mindset of trusting what we're telling you.
Trust that process. Yeah.
And I think it is important that your client trusts you and that you can relate to their experience, which, you know, I think all of our coaches have gone through this process where none of us are eating, you know, 1200 calories a day. Nope. Doing any sort of crazy diet.
Right.
You know, and I know myself when I reverse, I lose weight when I go, you know, so I've seen it happen. And sometimes you just need to give your body what it needs. And it's getting them to understand that and know that most people are chronically under eating a lot on a regular basis. So once they start feeding their body is in a safe place and, you know, feels healthy and that fat is able to come off easier.
That was what, you know, that's interesting you say it that way. Cause that was, as I got into nutrition coaching, I did Precision Nutrition was my first certification and they are very much a behavior based model of nutrition coaching. So if I can change your eating behaviors, habits, thoughts around food, relationship with body, I can positively affect your body composition. And the idea is I want you to eat less food, right? So it's very much a diet through behavior, healthy behavior, which is fantastic, right? I'm not throwing that under the bus in any way, but it doesn't at all take into account metabolism and starting place necessarily. And I think people might be surprised because we sort of glossed over this, but we had said early on that most of our clients, and this is, we're probably pre-selecting these people because we talk about this a lot, but most of our clients are actually coming to us where they're overweight and under eating. And that seems like it's a contradiction, doesn't it? How in the world could let's say a Weight Watcher lady, because this is really common. And so I know a bunch of our clients are like, he's talking about me. Yeah, we're talking about most of you. If you're in a pro Optavia, it doesn't really matter, right? If you're in one of these calorie restriction, if you live there, especially, or if you're a chronic dieter and if you're a dude and you've not eaten more than 1800 calories in the last year, and you've just been under eating that long, or these ladies that are eating 1200 calories, and they live there, and it just seems kind of counterintuitive. Well, how could that person possibly be overweight? And there's a number of reasons for that, right? Biologically, we are fat-storing machines, and when we perceive food scarcity, we're sending a loud signal to the central nervous system that, hey, we need to store fat because we got this food uncertainty or this food scarcity in our lives. And so it's an interesting phenomenon when we take those types of people, who is the vast majority of people that we work with, and we start to refeed them, or you'd refer to this as reverse dieting, which means just adding a little bit more food, not all at once, because we're going to gain some fat if we do that, but just slowly step up your calories. We're changing the amount you eat a little bit more each week. We're changing the selection. So we want you to obviously eat less processed and ultra processed foods. We want you to eat more protein. We want you to focus on hydration. And what happens is we're building these new healthy behaviors, and we haven't even got to the diet yet, right?
Right.
You just mentioned your clients, and they're six weeks in, and they've come for weight loss, and we've yet to do the diet. All right. So you get your client metabolically healthy. You get them at some point where they're now eating a bunch of food. Their weight is stable. They're not gaining or losing weight, which means that they have a new calorie maintenance. It was, say, 1,100 before, and now it's 2,000. I'm just making those numbers up, but something like that. Now what happens?
So now we would start a weight loss phase or a cut. And what we do, so every client's body responds different, right? So we try to figure out where is that weight loss body recomposition going to be. And I start my clients typically by reducing about 10%. You know, so in the case if they're up to 2,000 calories, we're going to go down to 1,800 calories. And I actually help them right before they start their cut, go into their food tracking app, and we take a look at what they've eaten. And I say, just cut out that yogurt. That's it. So
yeah, you have to 200 yogurts. Yeah, 200 calories isn't a whole lot, right?
Right. Just cut out that yogurt, and that's your first weight loss phase. Or take out one slice of bacon and that orange, and there's your weight loss phase. So we start with that and just kind of see how that goes, see how their body responds. There's weekly, you know, I do require weekly weigh-ins, definitely, for a cut. You know, if you're reversing and you don't have a good relationship with the scale, I'm not worried about that. But I do like to see where we're going to be successful in the cut, so that ultimately, at the end of our program, you know your calorie count for maintenance, reverse, weight loss phase. And I can't really do that without all of the information.
Right.
So there's weekly weights and body measurements and pictures. I don't have to necessarily see the pictures. They go in the app. Nobody else sees them. But you should just have some data, because sometimes your weight is staying the same, but your body is looking totally different. So those pictures are important.
Let's talk about that, because some people might say, well, wait, how's my body looking completely different if my weight stays the same?
Yeah. So, you know, that is that ultimate goal of body recomposition, where you've put on muscle and lost fat and your body looks leaner. You look healthier. You're not skinny.
You are healthier, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You are healthier. Yeah. But I will say 99% of my clients are very stuck on the scale.
Yes.
And that is a mindset that you have to overcome. They're very stuck on the scale, like that weight. And there's usually, you know, weights for men and women that we've been programmed to believe are healthy, right? Maybe like 125 to 135 for women. And for men, it seems like 185 to 195 is where everybody thinks is healthy. And everybody has that weight loss goal, which, don't get me wrong, it's a great goal, but it might not be realistic or ideal for your body type. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of clients that come in that have had, you know, diseases or autoimmune disease or other things going on in their body, that getting down to just being skinny is going to sacrifice that muscle mass, that food that you can eat. You know, the cost of getting to be that skinny, you have to kind of look at your life and think, is that actually healthy?
Right. We're moving past health for a more extreme aesthetic at that point. Yeah. Yeah. Which is that's not our jam. There are other coaching programs that do that, but we are health first always. That's one of our guiding principles. So when somebody goes into this, you called it a cut, this diet, this calorie deficit phase, how long are they there? Months, years? Do they live the rest of their life there? What does that look like?
The longest I'll keep someone in a cut is 8 weeks. And usually that's if that weight was a little stubborn to come off in the beginning, mm-hmm. and we had to drop a little lower. So maybe that client that was at 1,800 for their first phase of the cut, maybe we end up down to 1,500 calories. And that's where we're starting to see that weight come off. So we stay there a little bit longer, as long as they're comfortable. And I think I mentioned this before, things I look for during that weight loss phase where I know that it's time to come out of it and start to eat more is if sleep is suffering, if energy levels are suffering, you know, if your mood is suffering.
Right.
That's time.
You're hangry all the time.
Yeah. You know, some people get down there and they're like, I actually feel great. And it's probably because prior to coming to us, their diet was really low in calories. And a lot of people that had done things like Weight Watchers or Optavia, they weren't eating many calories and they might have been eating all day. There's a lot of those 0 point foods, you know, that are just not filling and nutritious. So when you move to more fruits and vegetables and, you know, good grains and protein and healthy fats, you do feel full, but you might not be able to eat all day.
Right. Right.
So I'd say the longest I'll keep someone there is 8 weeks.
And then what happens? Are they done? Do we graduate and we say, all right, you've lost some weight. Go on your merry way.
Next step, I don't like anyone to leave us during a cut. So I make, you know, they stay a little longer and we work back up to at least maintenance. So maintenance is that place that we can start gradually increasing your calories. Get back to that, you know, maybe 18 to 2000 calorie range and you're able to just maintain your weight there. And that is where most of our clients want to live most of the year is in maintenance.
Right.
And
now, for perspective, are you comfortable sharing what your maintenance calories are?
Oh, yeah, sure. My maintenance calories. Oh, I'm 5 foot.
Okay. There you go. All right. Yep. And what are your maintenance calories?
My maintenance calories are about 1,700.
Okay. So that I would consider that pretty low, but you're pretty small, right? So for comparison, I'm 6'2", right? About 200 pounds. My maintenance calories, and it really varies depending on the time of the year, more active in the summer, less so in the winter. So right now, probably closer to 3,500 calories. So there's, look at the difference just in the, I mean, obviously there's a size difference between us.
Right.
There's a gender difference between us. There's a little bit of an age difference between us. But just there's this bio-individuality where everybody's got this different, this maintenance calorie place. But in general, higher is better because because when we say maintenance, that means this is like for example, for me, when I eat 3,500 calories a day, I neither gain nor lose weight. My body composition stays relatively stable, but that higher number. So if that number was 2,500, I would be eating less food. I would have less food freedom. That would also be indicative of a little bit slower of a metabolism because that would be my maintenance calories, right? So in general, it's preferable to have a faster metabolism than a slower metabolism. Of course, the bigger you are, the more muscle you have, that's going to impact things as well. The other thing I think that what you're saying there is really important is we don't want people to end their diet. We don't want them to call success when they've lost weight and they're eating low calorie because that's kind of unsustainable. So you had mentioned, hey, you know, in our example, I think you said I might take a woman down to say 1500. And at that point, we're going to reverse her. We don't want to leave her at 1500 calories. We want her to be that weight eating 2000 calories, right? Or 2200 calories, whatever that maintenance is, that higher number, because that's sustainable long term. Now, somebody might be thinking, okay, well, wait. If I lost all that weight in 8 weeks, I'm at 1500 calories, how would I not gain it all back by going back to 2000? What's the secret there? There's some magic involved, clearly.
Magic. You know, it's that we've repaired your metabolism to a point that, you know, and I don't want to sound like we are magicians and we're repairing, you know, we're going in and giving you the secret. You've allowed your body to, you've trusted us with what we've told you to allow your body to eat all of this food. So, and not gain weight. And you realize like, okay, I have somebody kind of holding my hand through this and I'm eating this food and I'm not gaining weight and I have more energy and I feel great. And that when we go to those to start slowly reducing that into that weight loss phase, you're eating a lot of food, but you're still losing weight. So we bumped you up so high that your weight loss phase is now where you would have been your weekend binge day, right? Mm. So, you know, 1,500 or 1,600 calories might have been the highest you were at prior to coming with us. And now that's where your body is able to lose weight because it's, you know, it feels good. It's fueled. You've built some muscle. So that's also sped up your metabolism. You're hydrated, hopefully.
Right.
Sleeping better.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things that we hope that we've achieved. And that way, when you start slowly increasing, your body is not holding on to that thinking like, God, I know the next time I'm going to get this much food.
Right, right.
You are, you know, it knows it's been through this process. It's not an overnight thing.
Right. Yeah, it's increasing this metabolic flexibility in our folks, right, to be able to slowly increase your calories. And of course, we're still doing the strength training because that's really important. But now the difference is, as we're slowly adding these calories, we have a very constructive place for these calories to go, mainly building muscle, right? As opposed to your body is like, woohoo, we're going to store these for this, all this extra calories for this fat for later. Your body's just preferentially designed basically to do that. But now we're giving it we're building this metabolism where we say, good, we have this excess calories. Let's put them to work. We need them for building blocks for this new body and for this increased health.
Right.
All right. I'm sorry. Were you going to add on to that?
I was just going to say that, you know, if most of our clients are with us for 6 months, you know, this is basically a 6 month journey. So spend the first 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks eating more food. We're guiding you through that process and eating more protein, and you're feeling more full and learning about food and learning about macronutrients and what works for you and what doesn't before we do that weight loss phase. And then we take a lot of time to get you out of that and to get you to a place where you feel comfortable to do that yourself.
Yes. Okay. So that's a very good point. Yes, our typical client journey looks something like this. Once upon a time, I had a bunch of, you know, you could do a 6 week body reboot kind of thing. And then we had a 3 month program. Then we had a 3 and a 6 month program. Really, we like that 6 month time frame because that gives your coach and you time to be successful, right? Because we just mentioned, hey, if we have 6-8 weeks for some of you with trash metabolisms, maybe that's a little bit longer, right? But we have this time to do this metabolic restoration, this pre-diet phase. We have time to go through a diet cycle. We have time to go through that post-diet phase, which Jess has told you is just kind of that. We're going to work on some healthy habits. We're going to work on refeeding you, slowly build back up your maintenance calories. And that whole framework takes more or less about 6 months. Now, I will tell you, most of our clients stay on with us after that. So we have a couple of options. We have these reduced rates. You could either do exactly, you know, still stay one-on-one intensive coaching relationship with your coach. You can do what we call our alumni program, which is you still have your coach, still have access to your coach. You're just not quite as intensive with that one-on-one. But yeah, folks are typically stay with us a year. Let's say, I guess at this point, it's over a year because most folks are going to do like that annual alumni program, for example. Mm-hmm. So they come in for 6 months and maybe they do another 3 months of intensive and then they want to do that alumni program. But yeah, that's what a customer journey looks like here. Now, Jess, as we're wrapping up, a couple of things here I just want to share with our audience. First is every quarter our clients get a survey, and it's what you think it is, right? Hey, what are we doing well? What could we do better? What do you like? What do you not like? What can we change, right? Because we're constantly trying to evolve. So we're looking for this honest feedback. As a part of that survey process, we do what's called a Net Promoter Score, or NPS. And folks out there may know what that is or may not, but you almost certainly have been a part of this because it's very, very common in marketing. And a Net Promoter Score is very simple. It's on a scale of 1 to 100 or 1 to 10, right? And the question goes something like this. Would you recommend our service or product to somebody who has similar goals to you? So the way we would word that, hey, would you recommend our coaching program, SoberEdge coaching program, to friends, relatives who have similar goals to yours? Rate that on a scale of 1 to 10. And we do this for obviously all our clients. Like I said, we do it quarterly. And I will say this, Jess, since you've been here, you have been our undefeated champion in Net Promoter Scores. So your clients absolutely love you. So I just wanted to publicly take a minute to acknowledge that you're kicking my ass in that score. You're edging us out. I'm not going to say you're running away with it because we, as a company, I'm very proud of our NPS score. But yeah, so obviously you're doing something very well. But I do have to say, we've got a secret here, and I'm just going to go ahead and expose you. I'm going to call you out right now. Our audience and our clients are, for the most, I'm going to say they're all over 50 because we have some 40-year-olds in there, and we have some, you know, we work with some 70-year-olds, but primarily they're people in their 50s and 60s. Jess, how old are you?
43.
Oh my goodness, you're just a baby. All right, so there you have it, folks. We got an imposter in our midst here. She's only 43, but clearly knows what she's doing. But yeah, just all kidding aside, really, really honored to have you here as part of the team. And for folks that don't know, obviously Jess is an important part of our coaching team, but you're more than that, right? You're a part of the business team as well. We meet weekly. We talk about not just clients. In fact, we meet twice weekly, once to talk about clients and another time to talk about the business. You've been really, really instrumental in helping to grow this business and helping me to kind of stay on track. Both you and Coach Monica are instrumental in that, and just wanted to give you props there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And then I guess if somebody's listening to this goes, hey, I'd like to cut of her jib. I'd like to work with Coach Jess. What should they do?
They should reach out to you at coach@silveredgefitness.com.
Yeah.
And you can ask Kevin if you want to set up a call and you can request me as your coach. I do have some openings right now, which is not very common.
Yep. All right. So folks, if you're interested in working with us and specifically working with Coach Jess, hit me up. That's coach@silveredgefitness.com. And then Jess, as we're signing off here, any last minute advice or anything you want to tell folks?
Eat a lot of food.
Yeah. It seems funny. We work with people to help them build lean, healthy, capable, strong, vital bodies that they love for the rest of their lives. And for most of you, not all of you, but for most of you, for most of our clients that come in, that means weight loss. And it's really funny that our message to you is to eat healthy, to fuel yourself for performance. So yeah, absolutely love that. All right. Well, Coach Jess, I just want to thank you so much again for being part of the team, but for coming on today and being vulnerable with us, being willing to share your personal story, your personal journey with us, and for all your wisdom, your insight. Really, really appreciate all that. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, that's our show for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I want to let you know that we have other free resources over at silveredgefree.com. There, you'll find our free guides with our top tips on nutrition, exercise, and healthy lifestyle to assist you in your weight loss and fitness journey. So feel free to head over there and download anything that looks useful to you. I'll put links to everything we talked about in the show notes, and you folks can find those over at silveredgefitness.com/273. As we wrap up our time together today, you can show your support for this show in two important ways. One is to tell a friend about this podcast and encourage them to give it a listen. The second is for you YouTube folks to click the like and subscribe buttons, and for you podcast folks to please give this podcast a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, and be sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss future episodes. I really appreciate you spending your time with me today, and until next time, stay strong.